20 years ago, last 3 days, I was standing there with knocking knees, taking my wedding vows. It's good to be here among you today. Now, of course, I've been visiting my in-laws, Ivani and Bill and Callie, probably once or twice a year ever since, which means that I now can very confidently butcher all of your names. So when I call Marcy Jill, and when I confuse Lydia with Sarah, please be understanding. We just completed in Elkins Park a series through the book of Revelation. Please turn with me in that book to the last chapter, the very last page of your Bible. Please turn to Revelation chapter 22. We're going to be reading from verse 14 to verse 17. Please give your attention to the Word of God. Blessed are those who wash their robes so that they may have the right to the tree of life and that they may enter the city by the gates. Outside are the dogs and sorcerers and the sexually immoral, and murderers, and idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you about these things for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, "Come." And let the one who hears say, "Come." And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires take the water of life without price. There are so many scriptures that stand behind these verses that we could not possibly cover them all in responsive readings and unison readings. I didn't even ask Herb to include this or that that would shed light on these verses because we would spend all day. The entire Bible is building up to this invitation. And what this closing invitation makes clear to us is that the key contrast in humanity is not between good and bad, or between male and female, or between anything so trivial as black and white, or American and foreigner. No, Jesus here wants to impress on you the truth that the key division in humanity is between those who have washed their robes and those who have not. And our Lord does not care about grass stains. He's not speaking of hygiene. He speaks here more profoundly as he gives the seventh and last blessing statement in this last book of the Bible. This is the seventh time that John says, "Blessed are." And so if we would have God bless us, let us fix our attention on who is blessed and how it is that we can be blessed. Blessed are those who wash their robes. Don't be distracted by robes. The only robes that we wear now are bathrobes. But back then, this was the typical outer garment. This is what you would wear in public and people would see. Blessed are those who wash their suits. Blessed are those who wash their shirts. He speaks spiritually. Spiritually, of the robe as the outcome of our whole way of life, the sum total of our deeds and our words and our thoughts. We weave our robe every day. Constantly, we are adjusting it. And those around us see half of it. But God sees the whole. And what we must take from Scripture is that left to ourselves and to our own weaving of the robe, God does not like what he sees. It says in Jeremiah 2:22, "Though you wash yourself with lye and use much soap. The stain of your guilt is still before me. Or in Zechariah saw the high priest, the mediator for God's people. In a vision, he saw him standing before the angel of the Lord, dressed in filthy garments. A thing that they would never let happen in a literal, physical way. And yet in the vision, he saw it. As God symbolically said, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But Jesus here says there is a way of blessing. Blessed are those who wash their robes. How can you wash your robe? No, not the washing machine. How can you wash your robe? Your mind runs to what you can do yourself. Ben Franklin, probably the greatest citizen of my city. And Ben Franklin writes in his autobiography of how he set out to rid himself of sin. He would take a rigorous scientific approach. He would keep a diary, and every day he would put marks down for every commandment that he had broken. And with this focused attention, he would make it so that there were fewer and fewer marks until he got it down to zero. But never could he get himself down to zero. He had to run into Jesus Christ, who told him that whoever looks lustfully with his eye has committed adultery in his heart. And never did he master the seventh commandment. But the same Jesus who blocks the way to self-washing is the one who opens another way. He is the one who says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I have come to give myself as a ransom for many. He, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. And so Jesus, to show the significance of his death, the night he was betrayed, took off his robe to put on a towel, to fill a basin, and to go around washing the apostles' feet. That was a slave's job. Would you want to wash your neighbor's feet? And so Peter said to Jesus, what are you doing? And Jesus said, unless I wash you, you have no part in me. And so we have it here in the book of Revelation, chapter 7. John saw a great multinational group of people there in heaven praising God. And he's asked, who are these people? And he appropriately says to the angel, well, you would know. And the angel says, these are those who have washed their robes.